Welcome to Staying at Home with the Williamses and what may mark a slight shift as we're all gradually staying at home less. I'm Sarah Milliken and it's my duty to offer a warning to any sensitive ears listening in on this that Robbie and Ida Williams do swear a lot, always and forever.
I would like to just discuss life after lockdown because I feel like that's what's happening. We're emerging like a butterfly from a cocoon, a very dark, shitty cocoon.
There you go. You may like to start a swear jar and offer up the rich pickings to a charity of your choosing.
And now we get to emerge. We might be forced into being moths now after butterflies or shoved back into that cocoon. But what do you think, Robbie Williams, life will look like after lockdown? We're on the precipice.
Wow, I've got abundance waiting for me on the other side.
Oh, I like that. That's a positive.
And
kaboom.
I'm very, very excited about all the opportunities out there for me at the minute because I do want to go and test out new lands. And those new lands happen to be
America.
Televisual. No, there's a bit of America in there too.
Yeah, there is a bit of America in there.
There are hints, scraps, pointers saying, come to America, Robbie, and do a TV show with us, which is nice. And I'm going...
Thank you, Uncle Sam.
Thank you. Thank you, America. You can wait for me, though.
Oh, putting America on pause.
Yeah,
hold on. Don't know, Mr. President, if I can talk to you right now. I'm kind of busy.
Now, we had hints of this the last time we dropped round to their gaff, but it turns out one Mr. Robbie Williams is very serious about making that leap from music to TV. Well, I say leap. There's still a lot going on with his music, so no fear, but that Christmas TV special from 2019 appears to have planted a creative seed somewhere. That's not a rude thing. It just sounds like it. Seed. It's perfectly natural.
So there are like several TV projects I've got going that I'm really, really excited about. But here's the rub,
yeah,
right?
Tell me about the rub.
Because of COVID,
yeah.
I've been able to hang out with you and the kids.
Which has been awesome.
And in that time, I would have been to several different places.
Yeah, you've been in and out.
And it would have taken me away for a couple of months.
Yeah, because it's not just actually the trip of the in and the out. It's also kind of like you being tired after you've done the gig and recovering from the jet lag and then preparing to leave for the gig and shifting into that new venture.
So if I do, well, this is what, I think this is what's going to happen, right?
Okay, go on.
So there's a few projects. They're all great. It's all sort of like there's some comedy things. There's some sort of mainstream 7:30, 8:30 at the weekend kind of stuff that I'm excited about too. But here's the thing. I've figured out that once COVID ends and these opportunities avail themselves,
yeah,
I'll go do them and that will mean that I'll be working all year.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I mean, there's silver linings to this. It's the yin to the yang, isn't it? It's like it's been really frustrating to not be able to work because we're both creative people and we love our jobs. And that's been sucky to say the least, besides the backdrop of this being like a horrible pandemic and it's frightening and awful. But the silver lining, as we've discussed, is that we've gotten to spend some really good quality time together. Now we're looking on the other end of the spectrum of getting to go do fun, exciting work stuff again. And then on the downside, what does that mean in terms of breaking up this kind of bubble that we've been in with our family?
But I would also say, just to make it clear, like, you know, if there's people at home going, yeah, but we work all year anyway.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is, it's kind of like working on an oil rig.
Yeah.
My gig.
Yeah.
It's like you spend 6 months away from your family, maybe even more. And that's the rub. That's the problem. It's kind of...
It's the nature of the beast.
It's the nature of the beast.
But the beast is lots of fun to do.
The beast is lots of fun to do, and it's striking a balance, which, as you know, I've never been good at moderation or striking balances.
Not a strength of yours. But you know what? I think that's like life's plight, isn't it? I mean, as a woman, you're balancing a career, family, a partner, and you're always feeling inadequate in every degree because on some level, you feel like you're failing. Or at least I do. I always feel like I'm failing at one, if not all of them. You feel like, you know, you're not doing enough of dot, dot, dot. You know, I think we all try and strive the balance, and it's finding the balance within striving it. That's the sweet spot. It's not impossible, but it's a practice, not a destination.
Because I don't know about you, but I've kind of got used to like COVID living.
I know. I think we're all going to feel like, aside from all looking like wildebeests when we emerge, it's going to be that thing of that like little like foundling, that little bird leaving the nest again, because we've kind of all lost our ability to fly a bit. We've all had to adjust to this new normal. You know, it's like adaptation, evolution. We've all found a rhythm now in COVID, and now we're switching gears and emerging from COVID. And now we have to kind of regain those skill sets. And it's like slightly different, but the same. It's kind of like your body after having a baby. It's like, it's the same parts, but they're all slightly different. But it is the
also,
same.
It's also like conflicting information about what is and isn't right, what you should and shouldn't be doing. Wear a mask, not wear a mask. Oh, there's this medicine
wear gloves,
that you can take.
Just wash your hands, yeah, disinfect.
Disinfect. And then it's, because like, I find it weird that we're actually... We've not progressed past April, really.
No, we're still in... I think we know more, but we at the same time, we don't know more. I mean, before we didn't know, you know, wear masks, you know, what to do. We didn't have, like, setups for food. And, you know, there was, like, madness at the supermarkets. And so there was that. We've kind of, like, settled into a bit of a rhythm. And, you know, you go, like, if you take an Uber somewhere, you know, they're wearing a mask and you're wearing a mask. And, you know, you've got that kind of, like set up, you know, like that's the deal. But you know, what has changed? The disease is still there. We still don't have a cure. They're still working on a vaccination. It's like, we're going out, but then the rates are rising again. So we're going back. I mean, there doesn't seem to be and then of course, different countries are doing different things. And so it's all a bit of a shit show still.
Also,
it's a better shit show because there's more of a rhythm.
We think it's a better shit show. But also, we've kind of been doing like normal living the last couple of weeks. And I was saying
kind of.
We've left the house.
Yeah, but we just don't go near people or go inside places.
There are some aspects of lockdown that I know lots of people may want to carry on. And to some extent, that could mean avoiding certain people you never liked much anyway, or whatever it might be. And there has been an unexpected upside that is uniquely showbiz. Remember those times when famous people, like Robbie, would attempt to disguise who they were with a simple baseball cap or such like, so that they could wander unnoticed among the rest of us? Well, thanks to COVID-19, and with most people, I hope, wearing a mask in public areas, Robbie the famous one can now wander freely among the masked masses.
We go for walks of an evening, and we're the only people wearing masks.
People
and
are looking at us like we're lepers for wearing masks.
The reason that I'm wearing a mask is to hide the fact that it's Robbie Williams behind the
mask.
That
has helped, actually. That's been one of the silver linings for you, is that you can go out in public and wear a mask and no one knows who it is.
But like you say, everybody stares like
you're an
idiot.
But then everyone's looking. Well, two reasons. Everyone then looks at you because we're the only ones wearing a mask. And then also... why are we the only ones wearing a mask? There's like literally, we were walking the other day and there were tons of people out. And for 45 minutes of the walk, we were literally the only people wearing a mask. And what was funny was, well, not funny, but also the looks we were getting, like we were those assholes. Like
people
like,
were whispering when we
like
walked
Like we
past.
Were like the freaks on the street, man. I was like, this is so weird. Why do I feel like we're on the back end here? But I feel proud of us.
It also, though, lulls you into a kind of a full sense of security.
Yeah, because you're around people and you're going, do we really need to wear a mask? I mean, no one else is wearing a mask. Why are we? I mean, it's a pain in the ass to wear a mask and it's hot and it's summertime and this is claustrophobic and no one else is. So maybe we don't have to. But then you got to pull yourself back in. You could just because everyone else is jumping off the cliff doesn't mean you have to.
See, I noticed that I met a few people today. I had to, there was a meeting.
I shook somebody's hand.
You shook one person's hand.
I know. I haven't done that in 6 months. I was like, oh God, that's so weird.
Also the oldest person out of all. I shook his hand too.
Yeah.
But he happened to be the oldest person out of every, he was like closer to 80 than I think 70.
No, I think he was in his 70s, but still we shook his hand. Are we allowed? I mean, he put his hand out. It's a very weird. And then do you slap someone's hand away and go, no, I'm protecting you. I mean, I know that I can vouch for our responsibility in these situations, but it is a bit of a weird...
Well, we're also people pleasers.
We are people pleasers.
Because I'd like to elbow the world.
Yeah, like you, like, well, you always had a big thing with hand sanitizers before. I believe we all saw that New Year's Eve show. So I feel like you were ahead of the game.
See, I would like to elbow it. I used to elbow anyway. Like on tour, I would be elbowing all the crew backstage because 120 people. I'm doing a show. It's a tour. I'm on stage. I don't want to get the flu. So I used to elbow everybody, and I thought, wouldn't it be better if we just bowed and did like a
pleasant thing? Well, I love it, like when we've been in Dubai, I love where they put the hand on the chest. It feels very respectful and also germ friendly.
Let me ask you this. Yeah. Vote yes or no.
Okay.
Keep the elbow.
I say keep the elbow. Hashtag keep the elbow.
Okay, and talking about personal space, we're about to venture into some slightly awkward chat about ladyscape and Ida's words, not mine, but as ever, prodded into said awkward area by her beloved, I think I call it bushcraft.
Ida Field Williams.
Yeah, Robert Williams.
What are you looking forward to when everything goes back to normal?
Everything goes back to normal. Well, first of all, I really like to go to one of your concerts. That's top on my list. I miss your gigs. I have so much fun at your gigs. Your gigs are the best gigs I've ever been to. I know I'm biased, but it's also true. Fact. I really want to go to a gig. I want to dance. I want to laugh. I want to chant. I want to sing along. I want to feel excited. I want to feel the crowd. I want to wave my arms in the air. I want to go to one of your gigs.
What about hair?
I would like to get my hair done.
What about eyebrows?
Fuck, I look like Dennis Healy. We need to do something about it. Yeah. I would like to fix my eyebrows. There's also lady bits that need some, you know, some.
I saw you tend into it last night.
Oh, God, really? Really? You're going to go there on the thing?
No, your garden looked good.
Oh, my God. Well, thank you. You know, I'm doing my best to keep everything in check.
And what
for
happened?
For you and for myself. I'm glad that the listeners have now heard that. Yes, I have tried to stay on top of my ladyscaping.
Here's mine. I left to go to...
I'm currently blushing on the podcast.
Why is it
because
that?
We're talking about my lady bits.
I know, but you are so sort of like out there with... But then it's like I've walked across a landmine. The landmine's marked embarrassment. Why is it that?
I think I all of a sudden just became a Jane Austen novel. I don't know. It's just because I know we're quite... Ooh, not the lady bits.
You are clutching pearls.
I am. I don't know why, because I don't clutch my pearls. I toss my pearls at most things. I'm quite brash along with you. But for some reason, when you said I saw you... tending to it, it just made me a bit, ooh.
Check this out.
Go on.
I went in the bathroom.
Don't go any further.
No, I went in the bathroom and I shaved off all my pubes.
I saw it in the trash can this morning. There was a lump of hair. Thank you, by the way, for picking it up.
Where did you want me to leave it?
You could flush it. You could flush it instead of just leaving it like a sheared sheep.
Eco people out there, feel free to have a word with my wife.
You could stick it in the toilet, put it down, pee, so you get two for one.
I had to put it in the. I put it in the.
Two bin. Birds in the hand, you know, yeah. And flush it, and because that, it was quite the surprise this morning. Because it was a thick ball.
But that was not actually my chest hair. That wasn't the plobs.
Listen, I can't tell the difference between the chest hair and the plobs at this point. Okay. They're all long.
So just so I
wait,
know.
Wait, no. Can we go through what I actually want to do post quarantine besides get a bikini wax, trim my brows, and go to one of your gigs?
Yeah.
I would like to go to a. Go to a club. I don't even want to go to a club, but I want to go to a club. I want to dance. I want to go to restaurants indoors with people. You know, like I want to be able to go to the bathroom in that restaurant without worrying that I've contracted some sort of horrible pandemic. You know, like we're going to have to wash my hands 85 times and then look at the door after I've washed my hands and figure out how I'm actually going to escape the bathroom without catching the COVID again. That would be nice. I would like to work some more because I enjoy working with other people. I enjoy working with you, obviously, Robbie Williams. But I also enjoy working with other people outside of the house. Thank you, Robbie Williams. You look very handsome.
Thank you.
And so I would like to do more of that. And I would like to take the children to activities and play dates because I feel like they will thrive more in life with human contact. So those are things I'm looking forward to. What about you?
I'm just looking forward to getting back to work.
Yeah, the work things. I'm looking forward to you getting back to work, and I'm looking forward to.
I'm looking forward to being with the band. I'm looking forward to having a project. I'm looking forward to starting that project and completing that project. I've written a bunch of songs. I've got 50 new songs. There's going to be loads more. I want to put out an album. I don't know when that's going to be, whether that is next summer or whether that is the winter or whether it will happen at all.
It will happen.
You think?
You know what I think? I think despite all of this, people still need entertainment. We need to it's like we can't go down on this ship with surrender. We gotta have some fun.
All right, Dido.
A reference there to the Dido classic White Flag. And yes, Ida, people do still need entertainment, for sure. And fun, preferably lots of it. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes I still like to dream of a time when we can all be out there a lot more, safely at gigs, with other people sharing experiences. Who would have thought that would become such a strange concept? But it's something that Robbie and Ida are wishing for too.
Okay, so let's say miracle happens, COVID's done, vaccination, woohoo, back to life. What will you do? Okay, you've got a gig in 2 months. Are you going to go straight into pop star mode?
Do you think I'll walk on stage and be him? Is that what you're saying?
Well, yeah, that's my question. Because like him is like a work in progress all year. Him is always doing gigs. Him hasn't done a gig for a really long time.
Well,
how are you going to get to him?
And yes, everybody.
Being Robbie Williams.
I'm proudly talking about myself in the third person.
We do have to refer to you a lot in the third person in this house, I should note.
Well, you know, there's
the ego has landed.
There's Daddy that's not on stage, and then there's Robbie Williams that is on stage, and he's like a super shield, and he gets up there and does his thing, but that's not me. Sometimes he turns up, and I have to do it myself, and it's terrifying. But most of the time, Robbie Williams turns up, and it's great, and it's a lot of fun. I don't know is the answer, but I know this. The last time I took 3 years off was in 2006.
I was with
you. And when I came back, I hadn't got an effing clue what I was doing. I felt as though I was walking with left hand and left foot and right hand and right. It was everything
awkward.
Felt so awkward.
And new.
And new. I'd sort of get up on stage or I would get up on television. Like the X Factor performance that I did, I don't know what I'm doing. It wasn't like riding a bike.
No, it was the same thing. When I had Teddy and I went back and I did a show for the first time after I had Teddy, I felt so awkward. It was like I'd never done it before. It was like my limbs didn't, it was just like I had no confidence whatsoever. I mean, it still happens. If I take long breaks in between jobs, when I go on set, I feel a sense of anxiousness because I think, oh my God, it's like in the emperor's clothing. I don't know what I'm doing.
Here's the difference though this time, right?
Okay.
Mentally, yeah. I'm much better. We've had the kids. I'm content. I'm a better human being. Also, the rest of the planet is kind of learning to start again from the beginning. So we'll all be in the same boat. The first gig that I do, the audience will be the first gig that they've been, the first time they've been an audience since lockdown.
Yeah, going, oh my God, I'm in a gig. What do I do? Do I go near these people? Do I?
I think just the joy of that happening will be very special.
I think the first gig will be electric.
I think it'll be electric. I also think it'll be like exhaling and going normality. And I think we will appreciate that and then we'll instantly forget it about the lockdown and then carry on.
I mean, it would be nice to just let go of it. It would be so nice to let go of the anxiety, let go of the fear, let go of all the parts that have been shit, which is pretty much all of it, and just be. It will be so nice to have that. I'm really looking forward to that moment in lockdown where we can just ground down back to our lives and it can be liberating and fun. I miss fun. Don't you miss fun?
Oh, I do. Just be a bit wary of how much you encourage Robbie to let go, though, Ida. If you've been listening to previous episodes in this series, you'll know that Robbie letting go, or letting one rip, perhaps more accurately, can have consequences. But maybe he's changed. Living in Los Angeles all this time is definitely rubbing off on him, as the lad's been hiking in those Hollywood hills.
We have been hiking. That's what we've been doing.
That is correct.
And I've been getting my steps in and I'm kind of obsessed about the amount of steps.
Oh my God, you're
doing
so funny. When we walk and I try and talk to you, you're like muttering to yourself and I didn't realize it's because you're counting the numbers. And the other day I went to say something to you like, look at that pretty tree. And you were like, I'm counting my steps. You were very intense with it.
But here's the thing.
Can I also point out that when we go hiking, you do bitch out a bit. You need to work on that.
There's pussy stops. I am a big unit. Mm-hmm. I'm nearly twice you. Mm-hmm. And this unit needs pussy breaks. And
by the way, they shouldn't be pussy breaks because the one with the is actually the one that's charging ahead and the one with the is the one that's...
Okay.
It should be called...
Cock breaks. Yeah.
Wussy breaks. I think they should
be wussy breaks. But the thing is, this is what I'm doing.
Yeah.
When I count, mm-hmm. is when we're going uphill. Mm-hmm. And what I'm doing, because I'm in pain mm-hmm. and it's difficult for me to walk up a steep gradient because mm-hmm. I'm new to the walking game.
the movement world.
I'm actually, the counting is helping me because what I'm doing is I'm concentrating on the numbers and not how much pain I'm in. So it's kind of a meditation to get me up the steep bits.
Okay, I'll accept that. I mean, I wouldn't say it's a steep bit. It's a gentle slope.
Anyway, 20,000 steps, if you're wondering. Yes, indeed. 3 hours worth of hiking that we've done.
Do you think you will keep up the hiking after lockdown?
Yes, I do think I will keep up the hiking after lockdown. Somebody once told me that not working out is the equivalent of taking a depressant pill, and it struck a chord with me. If you don't do some form of exercise every day, then you are not taking an antidepressant, you are taking a depressant pill. And I am so addicted to technology and screens that I'm loving the fact that we're out in the wild mm-hmm. and there is nothing. I can't look at my screen, can't send a text, I can't do anything. I'm just in the moment, man against nature, man with wife, man with nature. And it's absolutely beautiful. Also, here's the thing that I've always done when I've gone, got to lose weight. I'm going to beast myself every yeah. day. I'm going to throw myself into this and I'm going to lose weight by tomorrow. And I'm going to go a million, billion miles an hour at everything. And then I go, fuck that. I can't keep up with it.
It's impossible.
Yeah. So this is the new plan. Slow and steady wins the race. But instead of it being an hour's worth of absolute torture, I'm doing like 2 hours, 2.5 hours, 3 hours of a nice, gentle hike.
Do you know, that's something I've taken away from lockdown too, because normally when I do workouts, it's like, oh, I've got to squeeze it in between this, this, and this. And so it's got to be hard because I've only got an hour. And actually, two things happen in that is one, it's just the oxidative stress I create in my body from the intense workout is probably having a negative effect on me rather than a positive effect. And also, I think because I've done this like really hard hour of working out that I can just like do the rest of my work sitting and I don't move. Do you know what I mean? And actually what I've taken from quarantine is a certain gentleness, like a gentleness in my approach to life, you know, like permission to be kind to myself, which is, again, a foreign concept. So these walks that are gentle, they feel instinctually right in my core of this is how I should be treating my body, with respect and with appreciation rather than with just kind of
self-hatred
and abuse. That's not to say that there's not room for a spin class or a whatever, but I can feel the way my body is responding emotionally to me and physically. It's like, I'm not hurting in the morning. Things aren't sore, you know? And it's like, but I feel good and my headspace feels great and I feel vital. So I'm going to take away from lockdown, and I really firmly believe I can hold on to this, is a respect for the process, you know, like respect for myself in terms of a bit of love, a bit of self-love and kindness. You know, I'm really kind to everyone I meet, and I love, I'm a people pleaser and I respect people I meet. I'm a gentle human. And I think anyone who knows me knows I'm a very gentle person, but I'm not gentle with myself.
No.
And quarantine has forced me to look inwards, to slow my pace down and to be a more gentle version of myself, to me.
You wouldn't hang out with you, the person that you...
I'm the last person I would hang out with as me because I'm so aggressive to me.
And I wouldn't hang out. I read this the other day. We are not the voice in our head.
Okay.
We're the person that listens to the voice in our head.
Yeah, we're the only... It's true. That's true. We are. We're the audience of one listening to our voice in our head.
Yeah, and who is this guy?
The person in my head is an asshole.
Who is this guy? And what is this? What are his qualifications?
And also, why is he so mean?
Yeah, exactly. What are his qualifications? What has he done? Look, I've sold a load of records and forged a great career. I've got 4 lovely kids and a beautiful wife. And there's this guy in my head that has done nothing other than berate me all of my effing life.
Yeah.
Who the fuck is that?
I know.
Who is that guy?
And why have I let him in?
Yeah.
Why do I give her so much power and dominance over everything I do and let me tell me I'm shit when I know I'm good?
It's so weird, isn't it?
So weird. And yet I know that and I still listen to her.
I know those voices too. They sometimes reveal themselves as hecklers at comedy gigs, but I digress. I'm loving that Robbie and Ida have found a new state of calm and positivity in lockdown, and I very much hope that you have too. But they're not done with sharing their lessons of 2020 lockdown yet, and Robbie's had a personal epiphany about the mainstream media.
Two things that I'm going to take with me from lockdown. Lockdown has given me a couple of gems.
Okay.
I've said this before on the podcast. At the start of this, I thought, this time is terrifying enough than to let the mainstream media dictate psychically how I'm going to feel about it.
Yeah.
Because they just want you to feel fear.
Right.
And they just want to fan the flames, pour petrol
on
it.
They've done a really good job.
And they've done a really good job.
They're ace at that job. They're like the people in our heads.
So I have stopped reading it.
I know, it's really good.
I'm 46. It's the first time in my life that I've actually stopped reading it. COVID has done that for me. Another thing too, in COVID, because that fire I put out, a new fire comes up. The new fire was Instagram. Reading comments, reading DMs, replying, getting angry, arguing with people. That person's wrong. What an idiot that person. Therefore, I need to go and tell them. And I would patrol my comment section for the next idiot. And I could spend 3 hours arguing with these faceless people on the internet. The toxicity of that is incredible. It's like the equivalent of standing in a tunnel behind a diesel truck and inhaling the fumes for 3 hours. You would think it would be incredibly simple. Don't do it, right? Just don't read it. It isn't that simple. Kind of like when people say that to me, I go, well, do that with chocolate. Oh, I'm going to have this, but I shouldn't. Just don't eat chocolate. Or here's another thing.
No, it's opening Pandora's box, but, which is incredibly tempting. Yeah,
but here's the thing too. It's like, well, I'm going to have a drink this evening and I probably shouldn't. Just don't. Just don't do it. It's that simple. It's not. There's addictions come in all forms. I was addicted
for sure
to the exhaust fumes.
100%. You went from guy who doesn't have phone to guy who has phone and looks at it every... I mean, you were going to the bathroom with the phone. You know, if the TV was on, you'd be on the phone. You checked your phone all the time. You were at the dinner table with your phone. Your head was permanently down looking at the screen. And it was really actually hard to get through to you on that because I didn't want to be a nag. I didn't want to, you know... Great, you, but also I could see the addiction kind of, well, it's not drugs, it's not alcohol, and thank God for that, but it's now segueing to this very dangerous place where you're literally not present and you're just, you're experiencing life through this screen and through people who are frustrating you or who don't even know you that are saying negative things, and then you're engaging it and you're fixating on it and you were, and I mean, it was, there was a period of time during this quarantine where it kind of felt like a disconnect and I lost you to this, the screen. You'd even have the phone and the computer and the TV on, and you go to bed with the computer on and the phone. You know, and it was like very hard to, and we were all adjusting to this new normal, but I saw your addictions go that way. And I have to say, it's only recently since we've been walking and you've been outside. I'm so grateful to have you back.
And say that, you know, it's kind of my disease is a disease of self that will have me isolate. That's where my magnetic, you know, the magnetic pole that is north, I shift to isolation. The whole planet was put in isolation.
I mean, I think that's why it was really hard for mental health because, you know, it's like already when you're depressed, you isolate, you detach. You know, it's and it's your friends and family that kind of see you detaching and isolating that try and get you out of it. But when we're in a pandemic where we're supposed to be isolating, for someone who then isolates and has no physical contact with someone who can help them or spot it, it's a very dangerous place. And even with you, it was like there were moments when even though we were in the house together, I didn't know where you were. You know, it was you were not there, even though you were physically right there. And I'm really grateful that you've had this turnaround. You know, it's like as your wife married to an addict, there are always these moments where it goes in ebbs and flows. You know, it goes where I see your addictions take hold and it's hard because I can't get through to you in those moments. And that can make me sad, you know. And I'm really grateful to the epiphanies you have. And it's always actually, I think, always nature-based. There's a moment when I somehow convince you to come outside with me, or there's a change in environment, or something kind of triggers this kind of openness to something different.
Anyway, the upshot of that is I've come off Instagram. I'm still on Instagram.
Yeah,
my account is active.
Yeah, but you're not.
I'm not in the comments section.
No.
I'm not checking my DMs.
No.
Because here's the thing.
Much healthier place.
Here's the thing about, we all, before the internet, we used to say there's always one. There's always one. Oh, there's always one, isn't there, that comes and ruin it. Now, all those ones have got a place to congregate. Mm-hmm. And all those ones
can feed off of each other.
Have turned into millions. And the absence of diplomacy that social media has created is abhorrent.
And the veil of anonymity
is abhorrent, and it is toxic. And great changes need to happen on all of these forums, because unfortunately, the minority have and will spoil it for the majority. But it's like the Wild West out there right now, and reforms do need to happen. You know, that I do believe that people should have IDs to go on, leave messages and comment on these big places.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
I'm also a big fan of freedom of speech as well, too. And I'm a libertarian, so this is like a weird mixture.
Obviously, people create fake accounts just to attack, and then if they get blocked, they create another account, and it's like this endless thing. You know, it's like my fear is like you have, you know, you go in ebbs and flows, and luckily I'm here to kind of bring you back down to ground when I can see you getting upset by these comments, and eventually I get to pull you out. My thing for that is like really teenagers bullying other teenagers and parents not knowing about it, and very bad things happening.
I mean, I'm 46 and it hurts me. Can you imagine me being 17-year-old Robbie Williams intake
horrible.
That with the same thing? I don't know if I'd make it out.
I don't know if you would. I mean, you know, think about what you went through already as it is as a teenager in the face of all this.
Without all that.
Can you imagine if you had that extra layer of people calling you shit
God.
Or fat or horrible or you know, embarrassing?
Well, I know what it was like 97 to 2006. I know how painful it was.
And imagine
just reading those words in the newspapers and the trendy magazines and the music press, and how much vitriol and how much hate. And these were very, very smart people that are very clever and very funny and very cutting with their put downs. And it's left a mark on me that I will keep for the rest of my life. So that was without social media. You add social media on top of that. I don't know if I'd have got through it.
I don't know if you would have either.
You know, that's a very sobering, sad thought. But this is what we have to do with our kids. This is the new generation. We have to be very protective and instill commandments in their lives. Mm-hmm. And if they want to go...
Social commandments, too.
The social commandments.
Social commandments. Maybe when that's something we can do on a podcast, is create some social commandments for the new normal.
Yeah.
Or for normal or life after lockdown. Let's create some kindness social commandments. And people can listen to them or not listen to them, but let's at least try and carve out something on, you know, imaginary stone.
Let's just do it for our kids, but we'll share it with the peeps.
That sounds like a plan. I like that.
Social commandments. I'm in, and have some early suggestions. Thou shalt not be a dick to other people. Actually, Robbie and Ida are doing this for their kids, aren't they? So perhaps thou shalt be kind to other people. But you know what I mean. Thou shalt wear a mask when out in public spaces. Thou shalt buy cakes for comedians, or puddings or biscuits, you get the drift. So many ideas on this, but let's see what the Williamses come up with. Finally this week, Ida and Robbie have been thinking about the people in their lives that they have been missing most this year, when it's been hard to see all those that we love.
Okay, so Ida Field Williams, mm-hmm. Ida Wield Williams.
Yeah.
What? Who are the people that you're most wanting to see after lockdown ends?
I mean, this is an easy one for me. I think the person I most want to see after lockdown ends, when it's safe, is my mom. And I mean, in the sense that I've seen her during lockdown, but I've seen her from, you know, 15 feet away or 10 feet away, and it's involved a mask and rubber gloves. And I haven't physically hugged my mom with my bare hands and arms and face in over 6 months. And I so badly want to just give her a kiss and a hug. It breaks my heart that I can't do that right now. You know, it's just, you know, my mom and I, anyone who follows me on Instagram or knows me or follows you knows how codependent I am with my mother and how she is so intrinsically a part of our lives. She is, besides you and our kids, she's my best friend. And she's been my best friend my whole life. She's, you know, she was a single mom with me. And God, it just like, it keeps me up at night because she's going through what she's going through with her cancer and Parkinson's. And I just miss her. I miss the physical being of my mom, you know, and especially not knowing how much time I have on this planet with her in the face of everything she's going through. I just want to, I want to hold her hand and watch TV. I wanna drink a glass of wine with her and laugh and not be worried about my glass or my laugh killing her. You know, I just wanna hug my mommy. I wanna hug her with my skin to her skin and feel like her little girl. You know, it's missing in my soul. It's, you know, it's there's no amount of emotional eating of ice cream and cake that can fill the void that I'm feeling about that. So I pray for a vaccination or a cure and end this thing so I can literally just hold my mommy's hand and feel safe. How about you?
Coke dealer. Like to see my Coke dealer just, yeah, you know, face
it's
to
nice,
face.
It's nice I had a very just vulnerable moment and you, and then you did the thing with the joking and the drugs.
Booby, yeah, I totally feel you. That was a very vulnerable moment where you were very childlike and I hear
miss
you.
My mommy.
Yeah,
I really miss my mommy.
And that just that image of you holding her hand.
Yeah. Oh my God, I'm tearing up. Yeah, I
get
her.
It, and I feel it.
Oh, God.
I feel it,
emotional
baby.
Emotional moment. Yeah, it sucks.
And it will happen, and you will be holding your mommy's hand again. You'll be watching the television together, and all of those good things will be coming your way. Right now.
Yeah.
We are safe in the knowledge that she has the best care that the planet can give. And we are fortunate to be in a position where we can afford to do that.
Yeah.
And also, it's okay to feel vulnerable about it.
I think sometimes I think in quarantine, I've been fighting so hard to just get through it and be a good mommy and be a good wife and be a good daughter, you know, make sure she gets her doctor's appointment, make sure the kids, you know, do their Zoom lessons, make sure you have your needs met. And I've just been trying to get through it, you know, and it's like at night I don't sleep well because these things are just in my subconscious. And I don't often express how scared I am and how much I miss her. You know, it's like all of a sudden this thing happens where now I'm 40 or 41 and my mom's facing this fight of her life. And then there's this like fight of the planet, you know, with everybody. And I'm just trying to put one step in front of the other. And, you know, sometimes I so want to be saved by my mommy, and
But I would also say that you are saving her. You've done everything in your power to keep her safe and to keep her out of harm's way.
Yeah.
And you've, in fact, become the parent very
much. It's
hard,
that transition.
Yeah, but, you know, necessity is necessity. It's the mother of all invention.
Yeah.
And I want you to know what an incredible job that you're doing.
Aww.
As a daughter.
Thanks,
to
Boo.
Your mom. You
Thanks,
know,
Boo.
You also have to take a moment to give yourself some pride with what you've achieved in this most stressful time.
Yeah.
You have done an incredible job, and I'm really, really proud of you.
I really appreciate your kind words, Boozy. It means a lot to me that you're proud of me, because sometimes you just think you're never doing enough. That's the perfectionism.
Yeah,
that's
the
bunny boiler.
That's the problem with
that's
you.
That's the bunny boiler in my
head.
Well,
that's the problem with you. You're never going to think that you're ever doing enough.
Yeah.
And I always think I'm doing too much.
Ah, and there we have it. Robbie yanking us back from some really touching moments there. Well, what a time we've had in lockdown. Listening in on the Williamses while we've all been staying at home, more or less. Who knows what the next few months will bring, but for sure there'll be a load more Robbie Williams, 50 plus songs and counting, hurrah! And watch out, he's planning to come to a TV near you soon. Well, your TV, he wants to be on all of them. Bring on the fun, for sure 2020 needs it. I've been Sarah Milliken, and this has been Staying at Home with the Williamses.